Okay. 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was also published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tipton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Ellentuck?
Here. Start out with a short report. I've received both telephone calls and emails from the OSHA, the Public Employees Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Their message is time's up as of tomorrow. So I am going to be directing the municipal engineer to come down, look at the building, give us an estimate. They will start fining us about $250 a day for our heater. We need to appoint an air specialist. I'll get you the exact words, but and we have to have a clean air plan. Again, not the exact words, but close enough. To all you folks who, well, we should anticipate a little bit of overtime. We've received 36 OPA requests in 30 days. They're through about, I believe, 25 of them, and I think there's a pile of responses down there. So if you need something at the Borough Hall, please excuse them if they're a little busy. They're desperately trying to get through this because there is a legal deadline on it. There's a seven-day deadline on responding to OPA requests. Also, while we're on the subject of OPA, all OPA requests are by law to go through the clerk or somebody deputized by the clerk, which would be the deputy clerk. If you require something that is operable, please go to either one of them, and I'm going to ask other employees that if you approach them and ask for a document that is subject to OPA, that they simply refer you to the clerk or the deputy clerk. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just want to bring up, we put in high-speed internet at the water plant and the sewer plant a while ago for the purpose of putting in cameras. There were two reasons for putting those cameras in. One was Homeland Security to look at the fences and see if anybody's coming in. But much more important, at least in my view, is that very often you have a single person working in that plant, and some of them are of a certain age. And I don't know if you've all been in the water plant, but there's a long metal stairway that leads to an open area. There's lots of equipment there, same thing at the sewer plant. We would hate to find that somebody was injured and we didn't know for 3 days, which is obviously possible because not a lot of us go out there on a regular basis. And lastly, mostly for the benefit of the council, the locks were changed at both the sewer plant and the water plant. First thing we come to is approval of minutes, June 1, 2017. Special regular meeting. Not sure what that means. Do I have a motion to approve the June 1, 2017? That's what I figured.
Special meeting.
Special meeting. Thank you.
Special meeting.
Special meeting. Okay.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Any comments, questions about the minutes?
May I? Is it possible that we could get the minutes at one meeting and then at the next meeting approve them, because it's usually a day before that we get these, and to go over them if you're busy out there, you know. So.
Well, it's usually a couple of days before, but it's up to the council if they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with it.
Okay. Okay. Suggestion?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah, my input is, I thought these are very lengthy minutes, and they did take a while to go over. I thought we agreed that we would do very sparse kind of minutes and then refer to the recordings for anybody who wanted detail.
That was my position to which you objected. So they're trying to reach a balance.
No, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Too much?
Well, it's too much, I'm sure it's too much for you to do, too. Plus, it opens the door for a lot of discussion about what was said and all, and I think the record speaks for itself if it's recorded, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Makes sense to me.
So, what do we want to do about the June 1 meeting? Minutes. Well, we're here. We have a motion. We have a second. We have a second, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a second. Did anybody have any comments on these minutes? Or do you want to just put them off? Okay. Show of hands, all in favor of approving
it? I just have a minor change in, on page 2 of 6. The second paragraph. Legal fees went down by $25,300 and is concerned as we have a number of potential litigation. It's just a...
He is.
Yes.
Thank you.
And number of potential litigation sources.
Yeah, I saw that and decided to just sort of leave it, but...
Yeah. It's not substantive, it's just...
How about if we just strike, and we have a strike a number of concerned as we have potential litigation.
There's another small one on page 6 of 6. Should the council member Malcolm said that she believes the closed session is to purposely exclude the public. I couldn't hear you.
Change excluding.
Should just be exclude.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments? We'll take the vote.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain. Is it, can I move that the minutes be presented at one meeting and approved at the next meeting now?
Does well, I think, we'll just, I think we'll just go ahead and do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the consent agenda?
I think you have public comment first.
I'm sorry. We do. We have public comment on the consent agenda. Does anybody in the public have anything to say about the consent agenda? Any questions or comments? There being none, do I have a motion on the consent agenda?
Move the consent agenda.
You. Second?
Second.
Questions or comments at the table about the consent agenda?
I have a comment on the repair of the auger at the sewage treatment plant. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of problems with that auger when it was first installed.
Mike, do you want to pull it?
Pardon?
Do you want to pull that resolution?
Yeah, let's pull it so we can discuss it. That's
okay.
The proper way to do it.
Right, we're pulling 17-96. Anybody have any questions about 70 or issues about 1797?
Just want to discuss it for a second.
All right.
Okay.
okay, so there is no consent agenda. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so everything's been pulled from the consent agenda, and we'll start with 1796. Mike?
Yeah, we've had a number of problems since that was first installed at the sewer treatment plant. And I wasn't on the council at the time, but I do live in the vicinity. And when it was first installed, there was a lot of metal-to-metal contact between certain parts of it. I don't know what parts, but it was grinding, was making a lot of noise. My next-door neighbor next to me had heard it and was complaining. We'd go over and we took a look at it, and it just, you know, whenever you hear metal-to-metal contact, it's usually not a good sign because you're going to get metal fatigue and something's going to break. It continued. We did speak to the operator. He said it's nothing to worry about, but then it failed. I just want to make sure whatever we do with that auger, that we make sure it's installed properly and we don't have similar problems with it, because that's an expensive piece of equipment, and it's always in operation, and I think it really needs to be maintained. Do you know what the initial problem was?
Yeah, and it's
yes,
interesting because
I
the
can talk about it at length.
The short answer is that Toby wanted a bar screen cleaner. The engineer at the time insisted on a auger. Toby fought it tooth and nail, and we ended up with an auger. That's the summary, and now for the full story, I'm going to go to Dr. LaPodu.
So the manual way to deal with rags and things that come to the sewage treatment plant is to rake them up a bar screen. But there are things that are automatic rakes that just raise the material up, put it into a trough, and collect it. That was the system that Toby wanted. Instead, the engineer put in the auger. The auger is just a big screw conveyor, and it turns and it conveys material up. It's to drop down into a, you know, one of our regular garbage bins and be thrown out. The auger is in a series. Before the auger is the muffin monster. The muffin monster is designed to grind up things into a smaller pieces and then go up the auger. The auger had been functioning for years, actually, but recently the rags and those flushable wipes had accumulated. Toby, last time the municipal maintenance was out there, they looked at the system. They were able to clean the material off of the auger for every part of it that was exposed. But the way that thing is built, the wipes can get into a space that is covered in metal and then gets right into the motor. That's the part that sheared off. And that's the part that required this maintenance.
Was that a design problem or a maintenance issue where you had to maintain it better?
I would consider it a design issue, but it waited how many years to fail? Probably 15.
Well, yeah, but the sound indicated it was going to fail. You know?
Yes, and
that's why
municipal maintenance did come out and was able to clean the rest of it.
Okay.
So then they removed the auger from service and brought it back to their shop, took the motor off, cleaned everything out, put the motor back on. In reinstalling the auger, which was done last Thursday, I think, from my notes, they have a system of brushes which should keep the rags from going all the way into that inaccessible area, and it should function, you know, for a long time now that it has been the motor's been repaired and so forth.
Okay.
To replace it with another auger is a problem. To redesign a system with an automatic bar screen is a problem. The cheapest solution was to repair the auger. But we have now heard that the Muffin Monster has a new part that is supposed to grind up even flushable wipes. So perhaps in the future that should be the fix. For the long-term fix for this, I asked Toby to obtain two price quotes for your consideration. One is a new Muffin Monster. Another one is to repair the current Muffin Monster, because he said he hears the bearings on the Muffin Monster having a clickety-click sound, which indicates that they are going. And to get a replacement kit for the blades in the Muffin Monster, which would be presumably more, I don't know, sharper, stronger, more efficient blades that would cut up the flushable wipes. But I put the resolution on the agenda because that was the advice of our CFO, but I can tell you that the auger has been repaired and replaced and is back in service, because the alternate method that Toby and the other operators had to use while the auger was out of service was to rake up by hand and place the materials in a bucket and then empty the bucket. And that was a health and safety issue, I believe, for the operators. It's an exposure to raw sewage.
So the answer is that it should be okay. It's not. We've corrected the problems.
We have corrected the problems to the best of municipal maintenance's ability. They have serviced a number of these augers throughout New Jersey. They have experience in this area. And any other solution would be extremely costly.
What was done before the auger?
It was a bar screen that was manually raked. That's the old system that they go back to. If you go to the head of the plant, there are two big troughs, and you open one and it's the bar screen, you open the other one, it's the muffin monster auger combination. So that's your two paths. You don't have a lot of choice. But if you allow the sewage to accumulate or the stuff to accumulate on the bar screen, then you back up the stuff at the head of the plant, and then you have more trouble treating it because of the delay.
What kind of guarantee is there on the auger?
I don't know.
Ms. Hamilton? Need more?
Well, I kind of got lost in the forest for the trees there. It was a long, involved explanation. But I still don't understand that. I think this needs to be maintained and checked, and we should make sure there's not a design problem. I remember there was a design issue with how the material was flowing in, and there was something that narrowed down the flow into a smaller kind of area to get it in there. And I remember there was some controversy with the design of that between the borough engineer at the time and the operator. I just want to make sure that that we don't throw a lot of money into this muffin monster and this auger and then still have the same problems.
I agree. I think that the sewage treatment plant needs to be redesigned.
Okay. So can we make sure that there is some sort of at least one-year guarantee on who's going to install it? The company that it's
municipal
a custom
maintenance.
It's a custom-built piece.
What are we talking about now, the auger or the muffin monster?
The auger, I think.
So it's a repair.
Well, both. I mean, whatever we're putting in, this is all inclusive in this one price.
No, it is not. This is just the auger. We have not dealt with the muffin monster. Have I asked for prices? And that is not on tonight's agenda because I don't have any prices yet.
So it's $6,860 just for the auger?
That's correct.
And as municipal maintenance puts their billing in for it, I would like to, I don't want to assume anything. I think they should have some sort of a guarantee with the installation and the materials. It is a custom piece, so, you know. Okay.
Well, I think the issue is that it's a repair. It's not new equipment, so I mean, they might give you a 60-day or a 90-day. You take your car to get repaired. You don't get a new warranty. So I'm not sure we would be able to get one. But this authorizes the purchase, so I'm not quite sure. I mean, you want a contingent on a warranty of some period?
Not contingent, but I would like to see that we get some sort of a guarantee in writing.
But if we pass, if we pass the resolution and they go and purchase it,
it has already been installed. Let me just say that it was sent out for repair. It was installed last Thursday morning, and so I just want to make you aware of that.
Okay. In that case, can I have a vote on, I'm sorry, a motion on 1796? Should have done that before.
Move 1796.
We have a second.
Second.
Can I get roll call, please?
Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
1797, Joe, you had a question about that?
Yes, the 1797, the monitor, like the chlorine. Since you're putting Wi-Fi in for security, which
it's
is
already in, it's been in for about 2 years.
Great thing. So the analyzer should be able to call out with an alarm?
You'd have to ask Jill. I'm not an expert on pH monitors.
She's shaking her head, yes. So that should be connected to the Wi-Fi, and it should be able to avert any other incidents like we had this past couple of months with the water. It should be able to tell certain people that the pH level is...
Well, it will tell you the pH level is high. It won't stop the pH level.
No, exactly, but it will advise...
It's a warning.
It's yep. No, I understand. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So we should have certain persons, if not the whole council, the mayor, Toby, whomever is running the plant, should be advised, because our neighbors call us and say, what's the problem with my water? You know, so if we could all be advised that there is a problem, if the alarm could go to everyone on the council, including the mayor and the utilities people.
Yes. My understanding, Joe, is that, let's back up a little bit. We have a licensed operator for our water and sewer plants. The licensed operator is licensed to operate it and is the one who is ultimately responsible.
Mm-hmm.
He has a, I believe it's an iPad that he uses that gives him almost all of the information from the plants on a real-time basis. There are two problems that have come up. One is that one of those alarms keeps getting disconnected for whatever reason, but the other is that the current monitors we have don't monitor the pH.
So well,
we would have to give, I think, let's find out if it costs $1,000 a person to do it, because you usually license it, right? Number of users?
To call out?
It doesn't call out. It sets off an alarm on his iPad. This is a remote, that iPad you see him walking around with.
This is the new piece that we're talking about here.
Yes.
Right.
And we never had this before, this specific monitor.
We've never had
right.
this, so can we look into the fact if it's going to cost for it to call out and advise certain people that we should look into that? And I would like to know personally, since I'm on the committee, that there's a problem.
Sure.
And I don't have to hear it through the chain.
I think it should promptly advise anybody who's going to go out and deal with it. I agree.
That this piece will call out and advise me. I don't have to wait for a person to call me. I want this piece to call me.
I understand.
All right. Okay.
But I don't think it should only be the people that are going to show up the emergency. All council people should be informed of exactly what the situation is.
Because we get calls, people call us.
Fine, unless it's $1,000 an extra license. That's all I said.
A regular phone call can come from someone who's licensed. Then you can just have a chain where they call, you know.
Okay, but here's the problem. We do call. We call the utilities committee. We call whoever's around. We let them know what's going on as soon as we know.
Okay, I understand, but let's not get lost in the weeds here. If it's possible for this to call out without an exorbitant expense, I would mm-hmm. like to see that.
Yes.
Good?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Joe, I don't think it makes a, so we're clear, I don't think it makes a phone call. Okay,
it'll
I think that what
alert,
it does is...
An alert like the reverse red, the code red.
It doesn't do that. He carries an iPod, an iPad.
This is a new system. I want to know
it's
what
the same,
it does.
No, it's an additional detector, but mm-hmm. I believe it still goes back to the same system.
Okay, well, since it's on the Wi-Fi, can we look into it calling out to everyone on the council?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I don't need to know.
Doesn't have to call you.
Are you on the committee?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You need to know. Okay. Did you last time? Okay. All right. Can I have an introduction of 17-97?
So move.
Second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tichkin?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
For discussion, can I have an introduction to Resolution 17-98? Everyone wants to move 1798?
Move 1798.
Thank
Second.
You. Okay. My suggestion, to keep this to a minimum of aggravation is that we go around the table and have each person state what it is they want to state. That work for you guys? Everybody say what they want to say. Please take just a reasonable amount of time, and then we move on to the next person. Mr. Hamilton?
Well, this has been subject of much discussion on this public body and also in the public. It was involved in a referendum on a bond that was passed by the council in 2016, and that bond was not ratified. It was defeated in a referendum. So the public has a real interest in this. I'm not sure the public understands all of the issues that the council had to face and had to deal with this. It wasn't a simple kind of thing where if you received it, you have to pay for it, because it's a little more complicated with municipal finance than that. We had a lot of discussion. I didn't see a lot of movement with the discussion among council members. And we did go round and round. I'm concerned about a number of issues regarding it, but just to cut to the chase here, without getting involved with all the issues, because we've discussed all of them a lot of times. I'm really concerned with paying even a portion of this bill for reasons that I've spoken about before, and there's legal reasons for that, because it wasn't, in my opinion, and this is, again, it's up to each of us to have our own opinions and our own thoughts on this, and we've been advised by legal counsel and also our financial professionals on this. But when I weigh everything out and I look at what we should do here, to me it makes sense really not to make any payments at this time. It may be a violation of the law if we do make payments. And I think the safest course of action might be to go and see and take our chances and let this thing develop and sit down with the engineering company. And even if it has to be before a judge, and decide and let them tell us what the right thing to do is. Because I'm really concerned that we open ourselves up to litigation from either direction, whether it comes from R3M or whether it comes from ratepayers who are upset because they don't feel like we should have paid that bill. Either way, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place with this. And after having been involved with a lot of litigation in my time as mayor, we were involved in litigation with developers and had developers lawsuits over housing regulations. It was hell to go through all of that and to try to manage all the legal fees that come along with it. The same thing for everybody who was involved with the Yeshiva litigation. It's really tough when you're generating all kinds of legal bills and there's no real parameters on how much that's going to cost. Very difficult to figure out that in a budget. So I really think the safest course is to be very careful, and sometimes the best option is not to act in a way that could get you sued. If we had to go to court and sit down with the developer, we of course would try to negotiate a settlement with
engineer.
Them at the time. Pardon?
Engineer.
Engineer, yeah. Sorry. So used to developers, one sort of or another, you know. So I'm gonna vote no on it. I think also our citizens have spoken on it on a couple of occasions. And that's my stand on it.
Thank you. Mr. Tipton?
Okay. I'm satisfied that we have gotten good advice from our CFO, from our auditor, from our bond counsel, from our municipal attorney, and indeed, when council member asked the advice of the Council for the League of Municipalities, who also concurred that the appropriate thing to do would be to pay the bill. The bill has, of course, been negotiated down, so it's a good deal less than it was originally. I think it's significant to note that, as we've been advised by our CFO, if we pay this bill, we can use money that the borough does have in store as bond money, so it would be paid out over a long period of time and would not have to come out of the immediate budget. If we don't pay it and instead we have a judgment against us, a judgment can't be used paying that bond money, so now we'd be in the position of having to pay the entire bill out of current funds, which would be far more detrimental to our ratepayers. On balance, therefore, I feel that the yes vote would be most appropriate.
Thank you. Ms. Bona?
In short, I agree with what Councilmember Tipton just said. The CFO, the attorney, the auditor, the bond counsel, I'm in favor.
That is all.
I would make just a couple of points because this keeps coming up. I'm going to read the last line of the public question on the bond. The last line of the interpretive statement says, a vote of no, meaning voting down the bond, will not necessarily prevent the borough or borough water sewer utility from paying for the engineering services from current funds. That was what the bond meant. I am in favor, one, because we've had our municipal attorney, the attorney for the League of Municipalities, our bond counsel have all advised us that we risk a substantial claim. Our CFO certifies that the funds are available, and our auditor and he concur that the best thing to do is make payment. With respect to litigation, I agree with Mike in one respect, and that is I've overseen a lot of litigation, and my favorite phrase is people go in as steak and come out as sausage. Nobody wins. But I will, from a purely financial point of view, and putting aside the issue of who's right or wrong, from a financial point of view, if the engineers sue us, they will not work on our, during that litigation, they will not work on the testing that the DEP requires us to have finished within 3 months. If they don't work on it, we have to hire somebody else to do it. So let's call that another $100,000. That means we spend $100,000 to have the study done, plus another $40,000 or $50,000 a minimum to defend the lawsuit by the engineers. If, as our various counsel expect, we lose that case with the engineers, we have now spent upwards or over $250,000. If, in fact, we proceed and we settle, and by the way, we're settling at a little over $20,000 discount. And they've already signed the settlement papers, by the way. But if we go ahead and we settle and we are sued by a ratepayer, we will do what's called interplead. We will go to the engineers and bring them into the case. We'll still have to spend another $50,000 or more in attorney's fees. But when push comes to shove, we are now going against the engineers to get the money back. So we spend $100,000 on the new engineers, and we, the study is almost complete with the existing engineers. We don't need new engineers, and we have a better chance of recovering. So that's why I'm generally in favor of going ahead and approving the settlement. Ms. Malcolm? Oh, I'm sorry, Councilor?
Well, I'll say a few words, Mayor. I'm going to be circumspect. In that, I mean, if this vote, depending on which way this vote goes, I don't want to give too much that would be in the way of attorney-client privilege. But I think there is substantial risk in a suit from the engineer in this matter, given the fact of the CFO's readiness to certify funds, and I think the borough would be incurring a lot of legal fees in that, and what Councilman Ticton says about a judgment in that suit is very true, that it would all come out of the current fund instead of being paid off through a bond over time. On the other side, I agree that you're correct. If there is a suit brought by those challenging a payment, which is effectively a settlement with a release of all claims signed by the engineers, by others, engineers would be brought into the suit, and effectively they would be the ones making the arguments, doing a lot of litigation in terms of their arguments as to why they should keep that money. So although there would be fees to the borough, it would be lessened, and I think the chances of success in such a suit are much less than in a suit brought by the engineers.
Thank you. Ms. Malcolm?
Well, I'm absolutely against paying this. It ignores the direct vote of the people, which voted against the referendum, against paying the engineering firm. I keep hearing about litigation, but it's been 8.5 months, and we have had no threat of litigation, no letter, no communication from the engineering firm that they are considering litigation or threatening litigation. I think that we have water sewer engineers who were employed by us for many, many, many years before they were dismissed for the reason, supposedly, that we were finding a less expensive water sewer engineering firm, when actually the opposite is true, and this particular water sewer engineering firm is more expensive than our original firm that we used. But I think just saying that would be another $100,000 to bring in another engineering firm, you know, I don't know how accurate that figure is. I think that the people made their will known. We asked for this engineering firm multiple times to come in and speak to us, but the mayor made a unilateral decision that he would not allow that. So we had no way to know exactly what they're thinking or what possible negotiation we could come up with, resolution to this. And to say that you're taking $20,000 off, well, there was all this discussion about whether they were told to cease and desist work. Now, we were told that they were told on November 8th to cease and desist, and yet there was work performed, studies, right up through December 30th. So that $20,000 is probably, you know, related to the work from November to December. And I just think that there are other steps that we could take before we just agree to give them $80,000 for work that was not authorized, not appropriated at the time. And I think that it's premature, without speaking to them, without a threat of litigation, ignoring the will of the people, and for the mayor, who just came up with this $80,000 number without discussing it with the council, and now you say the settlement papers are signed, I'm just absolutely not completely against this.
Thank you. George Lang, do you want to speak?
Sure. I think everybody can agree that there needs to be improvements to the water sewer plants. And my concern is if we're not moving forward, we're going to miss out on a golden opportunity. There is financing through the EIT. Right now, the average rate is 0.77%, and we can get that financing up to 30 years.
Speak into the mic. Okay.
All right. My concern is, well, first of all, we all know there's improvements that need to be made to the water and sewer plants. There's no question about that. There's a golden opportunity out there right now to get low financing. Right now, it's averaging 0.77% is what they're it's going out. 0.75%, 0.25% market rate. Plus, we can get up to 25% principal forgiveness.
and these loans could go out 30 years. It's a rare opportunity, and not sure how long this is going to be available. So I just feel we need to move forward so we can take advantage of this and do the necessary improvements to the water and sewer plants.
Thank you. Jerry, anything you want to add? I'm sorry. Mr. Stankiewicz is our auditor, municipal auditor.
From time to time, we get called upon to have opinions about things. Our primary objective as auditor is to give an opinion on the financial statements. I just will say I do not think George's CFO's solution to this problem is unreasonable. And I've heard all discussions, all facts, all points were brought up. I can say I think that the solution to this problem, based on what George has proposed, is not unreasonable.
Thank you. Dr. LaPote?
Well, we definitely need improvements to our water and sewer plant, particularly the sewer plant. I visit the sewer plant a lot. Toby has me on speed dial. In investigating the issues at the water and sewer plants, I've really gotten into the details with both the engineering firms and with the operator. The engineering firm forged a relationship with the operator, which was one of the best things that could happen, because previously the person who sat in this council seat and dealt with utilities talked about refereeing arguments between the engineer and the operator. And you heard earlier our discussion about the auger and the bar screen. There have just been a number of fractious relationships between the operator and the and utility and the engineer. And in this case, there wasn't. In this position, I really went to a lot of meetings looking for the cheapest way to finance the improvements that are needed to the water and sewer plant, because I know that me and my neighbors were not wealthy people, and we really want to have clean water, and we don't want to pollute the Assanpink, but we want to do it at the most reasonable cost. And I've been to financing meetings with the NJEIT, probably three or four meetings. I can look back at my calendar and see. And I've been to financing meetings with the USDA, because they also had funds available. But funding for infrastructure projects, I think the future of that is tenuous under the current federal administration. So I think it is an opportunity. We need to move forward. We should not be moving backward on this. This may be our best opportunity for financing through the NJEIT with some very low rates. I want to stress, I know that people here, some people voted for the bond, some people voted against it, but none of the funds that are in this resolution that are going to pay are from the defeated bond. All of the money is from the 2016 budget. There was adequate funding in last year's budget to pay these bills. And so that means that paying these bills is not increasing your water and sewer rate now. If we go to court, we can't use those 2016 monies. We have to use current funds, and that means that the water and sewer rates will go up dramatically. Like $1,000 all of a sudden you'll be asked to pay. That's really difficult for many people in town. This allows us to use 2016 funds. The last point I want to speak to is the point about hey, we still have to do this study, we're kind of on the line for it. And if we want to hire a different company to do the study, we may run out of time, and we may not have the right meteorological conditions to be able to do the study properly, because you need to measure in drought, you need to measure when there's not a drought, and so there's some issues with just saying, okay, let's quick get somebody to do the study. We might not have that opportunity in time. Thanks. Oh, and I will vote yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Basically, I have a few questions about it. So we have 3 months left for the DEP, is what we're saying?
About right.
Now that's for the interest rates, the current interest rates, and to be involved with this program that's the loan program?
No.
What for the I&I study.
I&I study.
The infiltration study. That was the study that R3M was doing that we told them to stop. And after we told them to stop, the DEP came out with a new regulation that said all towns must do this study. So, and you have 6 months in which to do it. So we either use R3M to complete the work that they've done, or we bring in somebody else to do the study. And okay. I can't speak to the season or the time.
No, I understand. But what is that regulation from the DEP? Has that got a number or a code?
Yes,
or?
So that is NJAC 7:14A.
You want to give me that again?
Oh, well, I'll give you a copy of the letter, because this was distributed to the entire council and discussed at a previous council meeting, and has been one of the OPR requests that we received. So I've dug it out just to keep it nice, fresh on top. But this came out on May 15th of 2017, so it was brought to the council meeting shortly thereafter.
Okay. And all municipalities have to participate in this?
And yes.
Yes.
Okay. The capacity, and not all municipalities, all those that have sewage treatment plants. Many of them have a regional sewage treatment plant, so then in that case the regional would take care of it. Here's the checklist, the capacity analysis report checklist, and it's an assessment of the treatment works, including dry weather treatment capacity, wet weather treatment capacity, sources and extent of inflow and infiltration.
Okay.
So
I just want to know
just a quick summary, that's
thank
what
you.
It's about.
Okay, thank you. And if we don't follow this procedure, what happens?
We get fined.
Yeah.
And that's what the DEP does if you don't do what they want you to do.
Okay, so, okay, that's question number one. And so if we follow through with R3M, what are we getting into financially beyond this payment?
They have to complete the study.
What will that cost?
You'll have to sit down with them and decide it.
We have no idea what it would cost to complete the study, and we jumped into this contract.
You have to sit down and ask them what the cost of completion is.
We have
no
idea.
I think the total cost they gave us was it 130?
1.4, 1.6.
No, we're talking about a study. We're not talking about fixing the sewage treatment.
Oh, right. So the study, they were into it for about $26,000, which is $25,000, which is what they're giving up. I don't know what the completion cost is.
When should they have completed if they didn't have to stop?
They would have completed, I think, sometime near the end of November. Is that correct? November or December?
December, I believe.
Okay.
Remember that the study was also to be the jumping-off point for coming up with options for the borough as to whether it's more expensive to treat our sewage in our sewage treatment plant and do the repairs, or whether it's more expensive to whether
ship
it be
it,
less
it
expensive
else.
To ship it somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
Through piping that would take it to a sewage treatment plant that would accept our sewage.
Okay.
Some
all
of
right,
the
right, right.
So
I
that
understand.
That was
in
the
in
important
interest,
piece.
In the interest of getting this along,
I'm just trying to ask simple questions.
I understand.
Long
we've
answers
had,
is different.
We've had quite a few meetings in which we've discussed this. We've had closed sessions in which we discussed it. And what I was asking each person to do was to state their position and why. Because I don't want to start the...
I have a few positions, and I don't want to take up time with being explained to. So I'm just...
Okay.
Okay. So we're not really sure what we're getting into beyond paying, because they haven't given us an idea of what it would cost to finish the study.
You'd have to sit down and talk with them.
Okay. Okay. So that's that.
But, based on the total number...
I don't know. I don't want to speak. Fine. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't talked to them for months except to ask them to do the TCPA.
Please let him just finish what he wants to do. And
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that we're not really sure what we're getting into beyond this payment of, say, $80,000. Okay. So, all right, that's a point there. Also, there's this... this agreement, the release. Who wrote the release? What is that?
I drafted that release.
Okay. And the purpose of the release is to hold each one of us, the town, and R3M harmless? Is that what this is?
The purpose is, if they receive this payment,
right,
that they are releasing all claims that they may have for any services performed or invoices sent or charges made for the year 2016, that they would have no ability to go to court and claim any or any place else and claim anything else.
No financial, right. We wouldn't owe them any more money at that point, is what they're saying. For 2016.
Yeah. Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes, they would give up all claims for 2016.
Okay, and do we have up-to-date billing from them from 2017? Do we owe them anything for 2017?
I'm not sure that's relevant. But what we're talking about now is the bills that they delivered in 2016, mm-hmm. and we are paying them a portion of those bills, and they are agreeing basically that they will never come after us for the remainder.
For 2016?
So, correct.
Okay. Okay, so on this release here, number 11, which was always my question, actually, about what we get for money spent. Okay, and I lost it. Oh, there it is. Okay. So it says that they will provide copies of all documents, plans, design, and other work product prepared in connection with its evaluation study, planning, designs, construction, and other services to borough releasees for the year of 2016 as a condition of payment for these. So we will have paperwork that all
whatever,
of their videotapes,
they have, we will
DVDs,
have.
Everything that they did, we will have a copy of that.
Whatever they have, we will have.
And we cannot use that for any other firm. Other firms would probably not want to use that. Okay. I would still have to abstain from this vote after
Okay.
knowing.
Can I just call for a roll on something? You stated that there was money in 2016.
Peggy, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay. Oh, the microphone.
You stated that there was money in 2016. So why then, on November 8th, when the $55,000 bill came in, was there all this flurry of activity and tumult that it was stated over and over, there's no money to pay this bill? That's what I can't quite absorb.
I'm sorry, we were each going to talk 5 minutes. If you want to go back again, then you're opening yourself up.
Since she said that there was money in the 2016 budget, why on that day was there all this horror that a $55,000 bill came in and it was stated multiple times that there was no money to pay? I'm just asking.
I don't believe that's
for
correct.
Clarification.
I would like to defer to the CFO, who has said there are appropriations.
There are, but why that day were we told that there wasn't?
Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to end debate. Can I get a motion to end debate?
So moved.
May I ask?
Okay, can I get a second? No seconds to end debate?
I'll second that, but I wish that George could answer.
We'd like to.
I have no problem with George answering. I don't want it to keep.
Basically, it was, I guess we're dealing with the authorization because it kind of did surprise us. However, there are funds available, and I've certified them tonight, and we've already gone through that. And when we presented the bond council, talked to bond council, when we were talking about this whole new project going on, well, then she suggested that it should be a separate ordinance, and that's where that second ordinance came into place. But I'm still standing by. There was always funds available. That just wasn't the original intention, we could say. But there's nothing wrong with it going there.
Why did it surprise you?
Okay, guys, I asked for a motion.
Yeah.
Because this is going to go on for the next 5 hours, and it's the same discussion we've had over and over
well, I
and
think
over
it's
again.
Important.
Well, maybe okay,
and
can't
that
get a clear answer.
We're
okay, I will give you a clear answer
dollars.
If you didn't keep telling me that you're not asking me. Because I was involved, and the bills came in. We were somewhat surprised at the bills. It appears that after we had the EIT meeting, and the EIT and the DEP and whatever other acronyms were there said that they were starting a new program that would fund a pay-as-you-go. We came back and we said, well, we can either try to pay these bills out of current funds, or we can do what the EIT is suggesting, in which they give us a 0.77 interest rate for 20 years and forgive part of both the principal and the interest on the loan. It was a better financial decision from that point of view. It didn't mean that we didn't have the funds. It meant, okay, if we've got a good offer from the EIT and it's a new program we've never heard of before that we were the poster child for, gosh, this is a good opportunity, let's go that way. So we did. It's always better to get a bond at 0.77% with forgiveness than it is to pay it out of your pocket in the current year, which can raise rates. So we went with trying to do it through the EIT. The taxpayers turned it down. That's fine. But it doesn't make the bill go away. And we still have an obligation according to our specialists, our professionals.
Can I add something and make it short to the public record because it was some new information
sure.
that I came up with today? I was concerned, and I know some of us, some other council people had some concern about using the 2016-18 bond, and just so the public understands, that was a bond that was passed last year. And it was for the purpose of, was that for a lift station? Do you remember, Stacey?
It was for general utilities appropriation.
Yeah, but what was the discussion? What was it to be used for? Do you remember? Okay. Wasn't that to be used for, wasn't there a lift station or something we wanted to add?
I believe that was a previous ordinance, the lift station.
Was it?
Well, not the lift station. We did something 2 years ago. Was that a lift station?
Well, here's why I'm asking.
It's just
Let me
the general
just preface
various
it.
Improvements.
It was just general? Okay. And my concern about using that, and we're planning on using some of the proceeds, I think it's like $36,000 or something like that, to pay this engineering bill. The bill was vaguely labeled as Water Sewer Capital Improvements. That was the title of the bond. And one of the things that happened with that bond, and today I asked Anna for a copy of the description that's required to be at Section 3A of the bond, and just about any bond says that there is a description on file which describes the original purpose and what that bond's going to be used for. It says that it should be on file with the CFO and also with the borough clerk. And I asked if it was on file, and the answer I received is that there's not. It's not on file. There's nothing in there with anything that describes what the original purpose of that bond was. And here's why that's important. I'm concerned that if this was challenged, that a court could say that original bond was never intended to pay for an engineering bill for a study.
again, with the witch hunt, you know, everyone has
Excuse me.
CFO, the attorney, the auditor, the FBI counsel.
Do I have the floor, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I'm not sure, because everybody who's going to have
on,
the
Hold on, she
chance.
Interrupted me. I'm asking for a ruling. Can I finish just what I was saying? Please.
How much
courtesy
longer
to
are
a
you,
counsel
yeah.
person.
How much longer will you, excuse me, Ms. Bonner, how much longer? Everybody was given a chance to state their position.
I'm concerned that a court could rule that the intended use of the original bond was not to pay for an engineering study. Okay. I think it's a poor fit. This is not a capital improvement project, it's a study. I called Pat McNamara at the Local Government Finance Review Board, who oversees municipal budgets. She said that the description, in her opinion, is not good enough.
Okay.
And I
Ms.
said,
Ms. Bonner, do you mind if I?
Not
okay.
Enough.
I would like to respond to this because you're going to say the same thing over and over again.
No, I,
we brought,
I just want to
we
say
brought
be allowed to say it
issue.
Once.
We
I
brought this issue.
I want to be allowed to
you
say it
You're kidding
once.
Yourself. You don't think that Section 3A covers this. Got it. I just want to point out that we brought this exact
that's
question
not the point
to
I
Megan.
Was that's not the point I'm making.
What is the point you're making, Mike?
Please
everybody had a chance
eyes.
To say what their objections were. Now we're going around.
Let
again.
Him make his point, and then it'll
whatever
be done.
Whatever it is, okay. Go
I
ahead.
Don't understand why a council person can't make a point. What?
Because
we're not going to go forever
okay.
on it. I just want to
okay.
make a
you
point.
Have
just
floor.
Please make
see,
your.
You
please.
Do not have the. Floor,
excuse me,
okay?
Mike. Please make your point.
Be quiet, please.
Mike.
Be
Mike.
Respectful.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Do not tell her to be quiet again. Do not tell her to
then
shut up
do
again.
Your job and
I'm
you tell
tired
her
of this.
Be quiet.
Do not tell people.
If you're tired,
up.
I want to be allowed to say, when I have the floor, I want to be allowed to finish a statement without being harassed by someone else, okay?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure you're in much of a position to say that, but I would suggest that you finish your point, please.
I did finish my point that Pat McNamara said she was concerned the description was not good enough. We're tapping into a bond that was never meant to be used for an engineering study, but it was passed in 2016. The public has no recourse and no challenge to that bond because it's already passed. It's water under the bridge. It acts as if it's a slush fund for money that a municipal government can use for whatever it wants to. And I don't think it's proper, and I think it opens the borough to challenges of this, of the way that we're paying this bill. And I think we could be in trouble because of it. That's all I wanted to say is
okay.
that I had this information.
Jerry has his hand.
Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you very much. I don't want to hear any rebuttal.
I'm sorry, Jerry.
This is not a rebuttal.
I'm sorry, yeah.
This opinion, this question.
I just want to address the one thing on that.
Thank you.
Although I think the cost related to the study, you can make the argument that it's going towards funding of a capital project. When I allocated the cost, I did not allocate any of the study costs to the ordinance.
Right.
So the study is not being charged of the ordinance. It's the other costs, the Rochdale Avenue and the other costs regarding funding of that.
I'm not sure I understand.
The cost of the study, when you break out the categories, the study
yeah.
is being charged to the operating budget, not the capital ordinance. Although I think you can make an argument for it, it's not part of the allocation. That $36,000 does not include the study.
Right.
So I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I would point out that our that particular provision and that question was asked of Megan Bennett Clark, who is our bond counsel.
No, it wasn't.
She, I'm sorry. Did you not say don't interrupt people? She is our bond counsel. She's been a bond counsel for over 20 years. I looked up to get a quick idea. In 2015 and 2016 alone, she did over 35 bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She knows her stuff. I've known her for 20 years. And so I stick by the original statement. Our bond counsel said it was okay. I wish to proceed. So I'm going to ask for a vote, please, on resolution 17-98. Aye approves the resolution and payment of R3M, and nay declines.
Ms. Bonner?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
No.
Okay. I cast my vote in favor of resolution 17-96. I'm sorry, 98. We now move on to 17-99.
And on a question
and
on
the
that?
The reason the payment of bills comes after that resolution, which is not the way we normally do it is because the payment to the engineers was included in the payment of bills, so it didn't make much sense to do them in any other order. And I'm sorry, Joe.
A simple question. On a 3-3 vote about money, does not require four members of the council?
It does not.
No, there's no supermajority on that.
About budget items, money items?
No. It's not one of those categories that
why
that
not?
You need a supermajority.
Why is it not?
It's not one of those things in the statutes that say it. There's certain votes in the statutes say you need a majority of the full, which in this case would be full, four votes. It's not one of them. So it's handled in the normal course.
So all other money items, budget items, are supermajority?
No, they're not.
Joe?
No.
Bond ordinances require, anytime there's a debt authorization, a bond ordinance requires two-thirds of the council, four members of the council.
Okay.
Special emergency appropriation for a revaluation or updating of tax maps or flood zone work, four council people.
Okay.
Emergency authorization, which is for regular operating expenses, which we've done here before,
right.
Four votes.
Right.
What was that?
Budget
transfers, which occur after November 1st and before December 31st, only on budgets.
Right.
Okay. Four council people to
right.
vote yes.
And this would not be considered a
no, bond. This is a routine matter.
So using one bond, using one bond in
well,
the past to pay something in
the bond was already the bond ordinance itself was already adopted in accordance with the local bond law.
Okay.
It's in place. The authority to charge that has been
so
in place.
So this is basically an exception.
Well, this is not accepted. This paying bills is a routine matter that only requires.
It's not a resurfacing
right.
of the bond.
No.
Can
that
I get a motion?
Require votes. That's a reappropriating. Anytime you reappropriate or redo or reword the purpose of a bond ordinance, you need four votes to adopt. You can introduce a bond ordinance for the 3-3 vote and the mayor breaking the tie, but final adoption. Has to have four council people in the affirmative.
So everybody's on record.
Can I have a motion on resolution 17-99, payment of bills?
Move 17-99.
Second?
Second.
Discussion, please.
Yep.
I have a question. Do we still need the trailer rental for the trailer that we're using for storage?
The trailer is holding all of our files.
Well, I know, but is there any place that we could safely store it within, other than there, we have...
We need to take another week or so to go through them.
Okay.
I mean, they just made it through most of the files that were in the attic.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it just takes them a long time.
Anna did a great job on that, by the way.
So did the rest of the staff who showed up.
Great. Excellent. Good. But can we eventually phase that out soon? We pay $410 a month for it.
Yeah, actually, in December, we can put a sign on it that says there's a new sheriff in town. Yes, absolutely. There's no reason to keep it.
I don't know about
it.
That.
Have you looked at it? It looks like a jail.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as they get done with the file, I see no reason, unless there's something else we need to store in there, and I don't know of anything.
Yeah, that's a recurring monthly expense. Also, I had a question about the petty cash. Every month, we seem to have $68.15 in petty cash. That's a repeating item. What's that related to?
It's usually mailings. I know Environmental does mailings.
Okay.
The town does mailings. And there's $68 and some odd cents.
Why does it come out of petty cash?
Because you have to pay the post office in cash.
You don't.
In other words, if you're not, we have a franking machine.
Okay.
Sorry, a machine that puts stamps on things.
Yeah.
I was saying for the audience who might not, for the younger people who might not know that. And if you do that, you have to pay the standard mailing rate. But if you do a bulk rate, we have to pay them in cash or a check at $68 and some odd cents.
Yeah.
And that allows us to cover the entire town for that amount.
Okay.
I have a question about the bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paid Richard South $210 to install brackets. Isn't he an electrician?
Your finance, I have no idea where that came from.
Well,
or public
no,
works.
I'm certainly not included on what's going on.
I might be able to eliminate
please.
On that. I asked about that, and oftentimes people aren't available to do certain jobs, so they'll ask whoever's available to do it. Rich also was used on, I think, on some of the fire hydrants, on opening up or closing some of the fire hydrants.
Rich's house was used to close the fire hydrant?
Yeah, it's unusual, but he was, according to...
Who?
Well, I talked to George. George mentioned it to me.
Okay. I'll just say in passing, I'm available, they're available. I mean,
sure. But there are questions as to why we use a guy who gets paid $125 an hour as an electrician to deal with brackets and odd jobs, you know.
Yeah, especially when it can be for free. What were the brackets for? Any
doesn't
idea?
Seem to be cost effective.
Mike, you know what the brackets were for?
Yes.
Yeah, there were some high up brackets, and so it was a dangerous kind of job from what I understand.
Oh, the pump. Got it. Okay. Yeah, I would like to point out that the last time we had to pull the line out of the pump, it was Kelly who was balancing on that retaining wall and pushing the end off. So not necessarily safe, but thank you.
But I just think $125 an hour is excessive for
absolutely
putting on shelves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the future, I would hope that we could find an alternative to the electrician.
Who do we have?
The assistant for Toby could do it. Putting a bracket on himself.
Okay.
Who's that?
Ali.
Ali.
Can he do that?
His favorite
work?
Guy. Anything else? Okay. So we got a roll call on 1799 payment of bills.
Ms. Bonner?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Ticton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
So we've got four yes, one no. One abstain. Okay. We now move on to, we have, oh.
Before we move on to other business, we found a typo on resolution 97 in the now therefore be it resolved section. It says USA Blue Book instead of Hawk Company, and that's my error in drafting it. I had originally drafted it for USA Blue Book. We found they were not on the state contract for this particular meter, so we had to change it to Hawk, and I missed that one. I'm sorry.
Is the price the same? Is the price accurate?
The price is accurate.
I don't think it was price. I think it was they weren't on the approved list.
Yeah.
Okay, so we now move to reports of committee chairs. Mr. Hamilton, Public Works.
Public Works, working with Anna still to try to get another quote from Trenton Roofing. They still need to come here to prepare a gutter estimate because the original quote didn't include gutters. We want to add that to the work. They're also going to be looking at the soffits, but they want to come out and remeasure just to make sure that they have things right for that.
Well, if they come in with an estimate, certainly that's over the bid threshold. We have to go out the bid.
Well, yeah. But no, but we already have.
We're
really
talking
have
a lot less. We actually made a mistake in the flat roof and the slanted roof. This roof estimate was like $7,000 or $8,000 for this section. The expensive section was the other one. So I think we're going to be well under the bid threshold, even with gutters, which is probably going to cost between $2,000 and $3,000.
But that's not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
What I'm asking is, did we go out to the others and say bid on roof, gutters, and soffits?
They gave prices on gutters.
And soffits?
Yeah.
Okay, because if we go back and ask for something different, we have
a
problem.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Some questions that I had in my report was regarding the salt storage, which is still at the end of the road, at the road on Pine Drive near the sewer treatment plant. It's still exposed to the elements. We had a preliminary discussion about the possibility of looking into moving it and possibly storing it in the existing public works building that we have, which has a pad, and I don't see why that couldn't be stored there. The alternative is to buy an enclosure, which is about $6,000, I think, roughly, for when we priced it out. So I just wondered if we looked into the feasibility of doing that. There was a discussion that we might do that. I don't know if Kelly had a a chance to look into that.
You're talking about where the recycling bin is? I mean, the clothing bin is?
Well, where the building is, yeah.
Or in the building.
In the building, yeah.
Then we got to get the engineer out, because the reason Peosha isn't going after us on that building is because we've told them we're not using it.
Okay.
And that no trucks are going in and out except for a pickup in the third bay. So we just have to...
But if we can look at some solution for moving that... Because there's a lot of runoff. You can see it. We've had a lot of rain. You can see the salt running off.
We have to do something about the millings up by the water tower. And if they are going to asphalt that area,
okay,
could we put something up there? I mean, it might be cheaper as an add-on to an asphalting than...
Yeah, I think we should take a look at that. All right. We'll explore that as an option, because I really think this should be addressed. Had a couple complaints from citizens about a lot of weed growth and other refuse blocking the gutters and also the storm drains, particularly along Pine Drive. There's a lot of material that's got pushed up against those curbs, and it hasn't been addressed in quite some time. And the gutters really aren't being maintained properly. There's two storm drains on Pine that are totally clogged. And I do get out periodically and try to rake them free, but with all the rain, there's still a lot of material going in there. So I'd like to see us address those areas. What's keeping that from happening?
Other than 36 OPA requests, I have suggested on numerous occasions that we work with Allentown to get a part-time person to assist.
Was there a street sweeper supposedly going through?
Yeah, but he's not.
Counting.
Yeah, and they're only going to come once, right? So
when do they come?
When they get their machines fixed. The both machines are down, and Richard Floyd said he'll let us know when they're up and running.
Okay,
yeah.
But that would help with what Mike's talking about here. Yeah, because
it would, but I think we ought to do something before that.
I pull my gutter out too. I mean, it's a mess, you know. So yeah.
Are you trying to say that the gutters are clogged because staff is too busy filling OPA requests?
I'm saying that the gutters are clogged because the gutters are clogged.
Nobody
and I have been saying for some time that we need additional help in Public Works.
Well, what was the OPA request remark?
I opened by saying we have 36 OPA requests. They have been amazingly busy. It requires everybody in the office who also happens to be include our Public Works people. And so they are trying to, one, fulfill requests at the same time that for the last 30 days at the same time that they're trying to catch up on other things, some things fall behind.
I think the gutters have been clogged for much longer than the OPA requests.
Thank you.
Also, the stairs at the sewer treatment plant, as I know we're all aware, really need to be replaced. I was there today, and they're really in a bad state of disrepair. Now, I don't know whether or not that falls under Public Works or whether or not it should go under utilities. It doesn't matter to me who does it. I just think
we
it
need
needs
a
to be addressed.
Yeah. We hire a mason.
Yeah.
So if we have a list, let's go out for some quotes.
If it's okay, we'll meet as a committee and get some quotes.
Well,
we
do. What the range was?
How old are the quotes? Yeah, we should get it requoted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but do you remember what the amounts were?
No, I don't remember the amounts, but Jeff was after us for that, so that's why we have to go out and quote Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. End of report.
You, conversations with the engineer, I know we were talking about it, I want to make sure I got everything, was the, in first aid was the, well, replacement or fixing of the HVAC system, and in first aid it was the center post, the exhaust, and the wash station, right, that you guys had on your list.
We had those on our list, but that's not a comprehensive list, and I think Peosha will come up, I'm sure, undoubtedly, with a more comprehensive list of things for us to address with that facility.
I don't think they have much more.
They don't.
I mean, I've been talking to them for like 2 years. I haven't brought that up. And right now, they're because of the way these things are falling, their primary concern is that heater, that damn heater in there, which we need to do something about.
If you could forward to me and the committee any information you have on any additional items, that would be great.
Sure.
We'll look at it, and then we'll get Carmela to come out.
Well, I'm already having her come out because we expire tomorrow.
Good.
So.
Good.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't asking for anything extra or whatever. And whenever she's coming out, you're obviously welcome to.
When is she coming?
We have to finalize that, so you're welcome to.
Yeah, just give me a heads up.
This is not me and Carmela. This is whoever needs to be out there to do it. Mr. Dickton, community development, code enforcement, and seniors representative.
Okay, I really don't have anything new of any great significance to report. I believe Councilwoman Bono will probably be talking more about, and Mr. Grunwald will be talking about the fact that we got our forestry plan has been approved by the state, which puts us in a position to be eligible for funding, which is a beneficial thing. And if Mr. McGrath wants to say something afterwards to borough officials, if you have anything to say about it, please do.
Ms. Bona, administration and environmental rep.
Administration. We're still working on some of the job descriptions. Water sewer is done. I'm a little bit behind. I do apologize. As for environmental commission, well, forest management, that's already been covered. Sustainable New Jersey, we now have received a preliminary response to the borough's application for bronze certification. None of the submitted actions were rejected, and most were approved. A few require a little more documentation or a bit of additional work to be completed, but we have until September to update the submission, and volunteers are actively addressing the remaining items. And the Invasive Species Committee, the Environmental Commission has developed a proposed policy for the Borough Council to consider regarding the planting of native and invasive species on borough property. The recommendation has been sent to the borough clerk, and it should be on an upcoming meeting.
We note also the importance of the bronze certification is this makes us eligible for certain grant funds that come through that program.
I'm sorry, I did not cover that again because I thought we've already covered
that
several times.
Just remind people that's why that's significant.
Thank you both. Anything from Public Works / Clerk's Office? Anything from Clerk's Office? Okay. OEM? Okay. Counselor?
Mayor, I have nothing.
Okay. Ms. Malkin, Finance and Planning Board Representatives. Representative.
Okay, well, Finance, as you know, we've been working on trying to figure out the whole R3M situation.
Excuse me, Mayor, I have to leave.
Okay, you all right?
Sorry, it's nothing serious, but I need to check on
it. Yeah, sure.
And Planning Board hasn't met since the last council meeting. And Recreation, there is camp starting next week. It's a science and technology camp. We have about, I think, 13 children signed up. They're between the ages of 5 and 12. And our recreation director also has a meeting set up a couple of months from now with some of the parents so they can come up with a possible solution, get an early start for next summer to come up with a program that would be more amenable to some of the parents who need more full-time child care in the summer. But there is camp. There is a science program starting next weekend. There was a good response to it. That's all for tonight.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't mention recreation because it's not on the little cheat sheet there. So.
Yeah.
Well, while we have our CFO in order here, would either you like to say anything before you
Working on getting the tax bills out. They will be going out late due to the issues with the state. And also we're in the middle of a conversion to a better program, which is going to allow people to pay online, hopefully in the near future. And whenever the tax bills do go out, there will be adequate, we will extend the grace period. So and basically tried to avoid having to issue an estimated bill because you just it's just duplicates more expense. Now, I always feel it's, I don't want to say it's confusing, but it's much cleaner to send the bills out normally. So we hope that they'll be going out in the next week or two.
Thank you. Carrie? Anything?
The audit is about 80% complete. We've had people here the last week and a half or so. We're just waiting for a couple schedules from the chief financial officer, and then we can put our end of the audit together. We have a rather unique situation here, which is unknown in New Jersey. We actually have a CFO who presents us with the records to be audited. Okay, it's a rare event, and we happen to have one of the more qualified individuals, and we were presented with about two-thirds of the audit exhibits today, and we expect the rest in a couple days. So,
terrific.
My people will be in another location tomorrow working on another job, but we're gonna when we come back, we hope that we will have the audit complete in a week or so.
We will miss them greatly while they're gone.
They've never been to a place like this.
Not surprised.
Few people have. Okay. Sorry. Councilwoman Lapote, utilities.
Since the replacement of the pump at the water treatment facility with the elevated above the sodium hydroxide tank, the pH has been holding steady. Our water and sewer operator had submitted a report to DEP because of the complaint that came into EPA. EPA is satisfied with the report, and DEP has just asked for some logs since the replacement of the pump to look at how steady the pH has been holding. But it's been 6.8 to 6.9 to 7.1, pretty tightly controlled with that new pump, so that's a good thing. The impeller kit to fix the impellers on the well pump so that we can fill the tower quickly have been ordered. Since that's part of routine maintenance of the pumps, the CFO determined that a resolution is not necessary, so that was not on the resolution for tonight's meeting. I noted that in the resolution that I did draft for the chlorine and pH monitor, Joe Trammell asked that alarms go to every council member, and I will investigate that and written that down. I think that's great. I'd love to have all of you out at the sewage treatment plant in the middle of the night. And Toby is setting up with municipal maintenance to perform the change out of the sodium hypochlorite tanks at the sewage treatment plant. We finally brought down the level of the sodium hypochlorite such that he has been able to rig up. The problem with sewage treatment is that you can't just stop treating the sewage in order to fix something. Sewage comes in all the time. People just keep flushing. And so he had to rig up a system to add sodium hypochlorite while the tanks get changed, and he's got that all rigged up and ready to go. George Vasseur has resigned. A job description was written up. From the last time we advertised the position, we still have a few of the resumes of people that showed interest, so we can contact them, or we can post the job on the bulletin board. Council can let me know what you'd like to do on filling that position. The most immediate problem is that George was doing our markouts for when there's a need to show where the water and sewer lines cross property. And so we need somebody who can use the device called a duck hunter, which is not really having anything to do with ducks, but it shows you where the line is. And George has delivered it to the sewage treatment plant, and we'll have training for all of our current operators on the use of that device. Thursday morning, I had reported that the new that the repaired auger had been delivered. Kelly and I went over to let them in so they could get started, so they would not incur additional costs while they were waiting for the gate to be open. And so then Toby came in to oversee the work. While I was there, he showed me the repaired area and the new hydrant, which is near the trickling filters and the area which has been regraded there. He was also able to show me the water damage in the sulfur dioxide room, which is the new problem. He explained that there'll be a plumber coming out on Monday who will change the line from an underground line to a through-the-building line, which will hopefully stop that leak so that we don't have water on the sulfur dioxide room floor. And you'll recall at the last meeting, the mayor asked the Utilities Committee to conduct an investigation into the two incidents. And before the council meeting, we were able to conduct a number of interviews. But that report is not yet complete, so we're still working on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell?
I have a question from the utility.
Sure.
Yeah. Is there any way that we can quantify over time the damage that has been done due to this flushable wipes problem? The reason I'm asking is because I was looking it up. There's been a extreme amount of litigation has gone up. Towns and water utilities, or sewer utilities rather, suing these manufacturers. And there was one very recently, and I called them, it's a city in Perry, Iowa, and they just filed the suit, and apparently they were in district court in Southern District of New York. And I called them. They said that they had just settled and they were going to get more information about it. But apparently there may be some possibility of recovering some of this, because there is litigation going on.
Certainly the entire repair of the auger could be
that is
completely.
I'm saying it might be worth getting to quantifying that, so we
right.
can talk to our attorney, perhaps pursuing this further.
There's also been wipes that were in the pit of the lift station, and so that also contributed to the need for maintenance at the lift station.
Yeah.
We can try and pull together some numbers for you if you feel that
yeah,
it's
might be some benefit to do
useful.
It.
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing from me except I am concerned about the quality of the maintenance at the water and sewer plants, and we will be conducting these interviews as you wanted, investigating the water situation, and I'll have more to say after we're done.
Okay, thank you. I did, before we go on to the next item, which is reports of borough officials, I'm going to ask Joe, did you want to give a report?
Yes, if I may.
Excuse me one second. There was one other thing. I skipped over what I mentioned in passing. We need for Peosha, one of the ways to help avoid a fine is to designate an IAQ, an indoor air quality specialist. The borough must assign a designated IAQ person to implement the borough IAQ program for all buildings of the borough. And this person must be familiar with the PR standards, which you can get online, you can go to class, whatever. Does anybody want to be the IAQ person? You're all jumping up here.
I'd like to nominate Joe.
Let me look up and see what it does.
Environmental health and safety. It makes sense.
Let me look it up. Do you have OSHA's or POSHA's standards for that, or are there?
Yeah, you can look at the website. It's nj.gov slash POSH, P-E-O-S-H, slash health.
Okay. And is there a particular standard there?
NJAC.
NJAC.
12:13.
12:13. All right, thank you.
I'll be happy to help you with that. I think if you're more technical, I'll be happy to help you with this.
Thank you, Michael. I'll look it up tomorrow or my earliest opportunity.
Mr. McGrath.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Along the lines of this discussion, Mr. Trammell, there was also a course. I have a certification, two certifications from through the Department of Community Affairs in Rutgers for indoor air quality, along with my mold training and all of that. So there is a course that the state offers where you can get a certification in the indoor air quality.
Okay, thank you.
I can get that information to you because they're offering it again now in their fall courses at Rutgers.
October 27th at Warren Votech in Washington, New Jersey.
Someone.
I'll get this over to you.
As far as housing, Mr. Marini has conducted 5 certificate of occupancy inspections. Zoning, we had 3 simple applications, fences and a driveway. Code enforcement, I've been busy pretty much daily, unfortunately. On the positive side, I've been talking to residents whose vegetation is growing out into the street and asking them to trim that. I've gotten some response, and others are promising to do it in the next week or so. So hopefully some of that stuff that's growing into the streets will disappear. We do have the 2 problem sites that continue to be problems, in which we're fining daily the owners for their failure to adhere to court orders. It's not so much my responsibilities, but back in December, the court has ordered 2 properties to maintain themselves in compliance with our ordinances. They have fallen far from that compliance. So at this point, I'm monitoring the properties for the court for a hearing on August 1st to report to the court, and the discovery has already gone out to the prosecutor as the condition of these properties, so that the judge can determine the extent of the penalties. One of which he's already advised the property owner that jail time is going to be the immediate remedy.
Right.
Because that was a suspended sentence in December. And the other was monetary, but it may very well go along the lines of incarceration as well for complete defiance of the court orders.
I believe the charge is contempt of court.
Contempt of court, exactly right.
Of court.
So each of those properties is receiving a daily summons or summonses, depending on the conditions. Until the properties are cleaned up to the court's satisfaction. Also on the 6 Farm Lane, you have a pending application for rental. That property, again, has been rented without that approval. We're in the middle of that situation as well. That will be in court August 1st as well. The property is basically back in the condition it was in last summer.
Is that the second or third time it's been rented?
Third time.
Okay.
And we spoke to Mr. Marini and I both went to the prospective tenant who basically moved the stuff in and then gutted the house. And he was told that the state overrode our decision, but there is nothing anywhere in the state that says that. We have a situation where the owner is we get this game between the owner and the owner's aunt. The aunt rents the house. The owner says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. So we're playing that out. But my recommendation at this point, and I'm going to put it in writing for the next meeting, is that the mayor and committee deny the ability to rent that property because it continually ends up back in the condition that it's in at this point.
Was it ever given a CO? Was it ever? Well, I know it was declared uninhabitable.
Right.
Right. Has that ever been
corrected? As of this past week, the building department has again failed them for the final inspections on the items which the permits were required for.
Yeah, that's the state.
That's the state. We cannot issue a certificate of occupancy until those items are cleared. The items we requested, it's almost silly. We asked for screens on the window, and they got these little screens that they taped inside the glass portion of the window. So when you open the window, the screen goes with it. Those kind of things. So this is a property that I've had to come to the borough every day, including weekends, to catalog for the court. Aside from that, a couple of other properties that we were having issues with, particularly one on Pine Street where the roof is kind of caving in there. We have contractor estimates now, and the owner is seeking to repair those damages, so we'll get that property squared away.
Are they gonna repair the addition or just get rid of it?
Probably just get rid of it at this point.
Bring it back to the original.
Yeah, it's. I've spoken to the building department. Like, there isn't any way to really repair that without completely taking it apart and putting it back together.
Just curious. Thank you.
So the other complaints that we've gotten, we've addressed, and most people are compliant. But those other 2 properties are a daily problem. Thank you.
On a question, sir?
Yeah.
Is it really the nature of this town to put people in jail for not maintaining their properties?
We don't do that. The court does that when someone defies the court order to clean up the property. It's the court's decision. It's not our decision. We don't ask for the time. We don't set the term of any punishment. When a judge says, here's what you're going to do or you're going to go to jail, and I'll reserve that decision because it's Christmas time or holiday time, as long as the property is maintained, and then that person doesn't maintain their property, and we go back to the judge says, hey, I gave you an order.
Just how many times have we, has the judge put someone in jail for failure to maintain the property?
Oh, just once so far.
I'm sorry. They didn't go to jail for failing to maintain the property. They went to jail for contempt of court.
For contempt of court.
Understood. Yeah. Right. So that just seems like a little harsh. I mean, is there anything else that we could do aside from bringing it to the court's attention? Is there anything even, you know?
Can I just chime in, Joe? Because yeah. I've stated my opposition to this many times. I mean, you know, we all want the town to look beautiful. But to put, you know, I've been against overzealous code enforcement for a long time. I think that if you want everything to be just perfect, then you should live in a gated community. I mean, I've stated this more times than I can. People live in Roosevelt because it's sort of a free spirit, free thinking, creative town. We have houses painted all kinds of crazy colors here. We have some properties that look like parks. And others are very rustic and rural-looking, but I'm really opposed to overzealous. If it's something where it's an actual health hazard or safety hazard, that's one thing. But anything else that's just clutter or, you know, something that's just not hazardous, yeah. I'm completely opposed to.
Could we have a neighborhood intervention or something?
I understand what you're saying. And if it wasn't for the fact that neighbors are now complaining. We've done for on the one property, well, both properties, long before I came, there are files on these properties where everybody's been said, please, can you clean that up? Please, can you clean it up? And it doesn't happen. In this particular case, we have a business scrapping and I don't know what else you want to call it, than junkyard business being run in a residential neighborhood, and the neighbors are complaining. They're coming to court as witnesses this time. Because it's just gotten so out of hand that from the neighbors' windows, they don't get to enjoy the quiet neighborhood that you're speaking of. Freedom is one thing, but we have people who continue to violate our ordinances. If we change our ordinances, you're fine. It's not that I'm out there looking for these people. We have complaints about this. People have the right to live next to a property that's well maintained. We're way on these two properties, and they're the worst ones. They are way beyond just some things laying in the yard. We're running flea markets. We're collecting scrap metal. When we had our bulk sale, the one individual went around town and collected everything everybody put out at the curb and then tried to sell it in the yard. And that's taking away the quiet enjoyment that the neighbors are entitled to. So, yes, I don't think we're overzealous because we don't – I mean, we're not chasing a lot of people. We just have two very bad situations that neighbors have had enough of.
The other thing is we put our – officers in a very difficult position when we say we're paying you to enforce the ordinance, they get a complaint, they write a letter, and let's talk about how the process that we go through, okay? First, Joe has a conversation with them. Then usually John has a conversation with them. Then they send them a letter. Then they send them a second letter. Then they threaten them with a violation. Then they write a violation. Now, all of this takes months, right? So you've got 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is, to start doing something. Eventually you get a citation. You go to court. The court either says, you know, clean it up or not clean it up or change it or whatever. Or the court, in some of these cases, says show up. And you don't bother to show up. So they hold you in contempt. And then they get a police. In one case, they sent the state police to go get the person, brought them in. The judge didn't declare them in contempt at that point. Then the next time it happened, declared them in contempt, then declared them in contempt because they weren't doing anything the judge was telling them to do. So to say that this is overzealous enforcement, number one, I don't know what it is that you want the zoning officer to do other than to ignore the calls. And the second thing is, you know, saying that people are going to jail for zoning violations simply isn't accurate. They're going to jail for disobeying the court. I don't know about you, but if a court tells me to show up, I show up, you know?
I understand.
Well, what did you just say about someone who may be incarcerated soon? That won't be for not showing up.
It will be for contempt of the December order issued by the judge. at which a 10-day jail sentence was imposed, but then suspended, which judges do often to try to motivate somebody to do what they're going to do. If you clean up, we'll suspend that and you won't have to go. But if the property goes back to that condition and it's worse than it was and when the judge made that decision, then the judge comes back and says, well, you didn't take me seriously. I'm imposing the sentence. And for the additional violations, I'm going to add whatever else to it, fines or whatever. Code enforcement isn't about this kind of punishment normally. These are exceptional cases. Most times if we're in a courtroom with somebody, it's because they didn't respond to the procedure the mayor spelled out. And we have files in this office you can look at. You know, they weigh several pounds. And every zoning officer I've talked to, a prior zoning officer I've talked to who lives here in the town, has said to me, good luck. We've had this problem with these individuals for years. So when you get to a courtroom, a code enforcement officer can do two things. Negotiate a settlement where they're going to do X amount of things in X amount of time, in which case any summons issued is dropped. There are no fines. There are no penalties as long as they comply, because compliance is really what zoning and code enforcement is all about. It's not about abusing anybody. It's just getting compliance so that everyone in the town has that peaceful enjoyment of their neighborhood property. So we've tried that. We've been that route with these two properties, both of which the taxes are being paid by tax sale certificate owners, not the owners of the properties. They've got no investment in the community anymore. The sewers and waters are being paid by somebody else. They're using the properties for things that are not permitted in your zoning ordinances. And it's created a problem now that's made the neighbor's life impossible. In one case, we had a bug zapper put up on the rear of a property on a tree because the neighbor spoke to the individual and said, please, can you clean this up? There are broken fences with pools. Anybody can wander in. Dogs are escaping. So he puts a bug zapper up within 20 feet of the neighbor's bedroom window and leaves it run 24/7.
You're working with animal control, right?
Yes, we are working with animal control because we have issues there, too.
Okay. So I also point out that the police were, I forgot about this, the police were at 6 Farm Lane, one of the houses you're talking about. Apparently the guy who's staying there had his tools stolen. So if you... Don't leave stuff in your driveway for people to take. Don't leave it where people can see it from the road, because there are people taking things. So.
Well, the building department found in that particular case, not in that particular situation, but in 6 Farm Lane, that the house had been completely gutted again without permits. Work is being, electrical work, plumbing work is being done without permits. It's just a mess, and they don't take us seriously. So it's a rare case, and I work code enforcement in 3 towns. It's a rare case that you end up in court with somebody, but it's usually an habitual offender. Most times, somebody who comes in says, oh, I wasn't aware you had that ordinance. We dropped it, whatever action is going on. We just monitor to make sure it's cleaned up. But in these particular cases, we've had to spend a lot of time because the neighbors have had it. They've just had it. And I get calls in the middle of the night sometimes from the one neighbor because he's got my cell phone, and I gave it to him because I'm trying to help him with his issues with his owner. It's just crazy, the stuff that goes on there. And like I said, these two particular owners aren't contributing to the community at all, really, financially. They're letting someone else pay their bills. And they're using the properties for other than what they're approved for.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to...
So if they were in compliance, they may not have to go to jail or whatever?
Absolutely. Compliance is the goal. It has nothing to do with fines or jail time.
Okay.
Once there's compliance, I recommend to the judge we dismiss.
They should get their acts together and comply.
And we beg them to do that.
Okay. I will point out there are a lot of people in this room who I know who have been on the planning board. And the zoning ordinances and the other ordinances in town are argued over for weeks, months, years, decades, to make sure that everybody's happy that that's what we can live with. And so, let me put it this way. The people who I have heard complain about the fact that they're being harassed are the people who are going to court. And they're the ones who have already received the letters and the visits and and have been told, look, just clean it up or fix it and we're done. We don't have to deal with it anymore. But once you get into court and you don't listen to the judge, it's... Okay, moving on to old business, we have none. Oh, I'm sorry, did you... Oh, yes, I'm sorry. We're going to take a couple of minute break. Just because.
this thing is old.
How are you doing?
What happened?
There's a storm going out there.
No, I didn't.
Your windows are down.
I didn't hear it. No, I know where my windows are.
Sunroof is open. Yeah. It's convertible. It's down, but its windows are
open. Oh, yeah. No, I'm reading this. I didn't even know.
Somebody did it, huh?
Yeah, we had that too.
Well, thank God for modern electronics, huh?
So
it's trying to make sure you understand.
Yeah.
Volkswagen plaintiff's team awarded another $125 million in fees and costs.
Who? For what?
The Volkswagen plaintiffs. About the, I think it was about the testing mileage. There's that whole thing where they had to recall all the Volkswagen logos and the diesel Volkswagens. They overstated the mileage.
Oh, is that right?
They actually made changes to the cars, specifically designed.
Oh, wow. Well, that's that. You talk about flying.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Where is she?
Oh.
She did come back. I need to talk to you later. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back in session.
Always appreciate your
Before we, I was reminded of something at the break about the zoning, and it's something that has become very near and dear to our hearts. We actually had 4 or 5 years of litigation in which we were accused, among other things, of not enforcing our zoning laws or enforcing them selectively. So that's the other reason why we continue to enforce them. It was the As well, many of you may remember, it's the Yeshiva case.
I think we still enforce them selectively.
Okay, thank you. We go to old business. There is none. We go to new business. First is RAP has asked for use of the Borough Hall December 16th, 2017, from 6 to 8. Did we check that on the calendar?
Yeah.
Is it good? Okay, does anybody have an objection to them using it at that time and date? Great, okay, thank you. Resignation letter, I think we covered. We now move to public comment. This is the time at which the members of the public get to speak. Please direct your comments to the chair. And if you'd like to speak or you have a comment or question, please raise your hand.
Open at 8:55,
yes, sorry. We'll start with Mr. Connors, and then I'll pass the gavel.
Mark Connors, Roosevelt First Aid.
Yeah.
Chairman, we have a budget? Pass budget?
Yes.
I think we did.
Can we, First Aid Squad, get our donation?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the other thing is the First Aid Squad...
Depends on what you're going to say next, though.
Well, what I'm going to say next is that I appreciate all the comments I hear tonight, which I haven't heard since the fire department was voted out, about doing something to the building next door. Common sense dictates to me that maybe somebody should ask the First Aid Squad what their needs are, mm-hmm. and that's not happening. I haven't heard from the committee. I haven't heard from anybody. I don't know how you know what to fix if... Besides the fact the P.O. ocean, if that's the only thing you want to fix, that's fine. But I would suggest trying to do it the first time right.
Thank you. Oh, Mike's not here. Maybe the best thing to do would be to set up a meeting with Mr. Hamilton and maybe Mr. Trammell.
I want to be involved in that meeting.
I would
like to be involved in that meeting also, yes.
Yeah, okay. I would suggest we move quickly, and the only reason is because I've sort of been at people about this for 7 months or whatever it is, and our time is up, so we need to move quickly. But yes, I think they should get all your suggestions and requests. I agree. And apologies for the oversight. Mr. Ellington, I'm sorry.
No. Give him back the gavel. Give him back the gavel. He's the mayor, and I'm a citizen. It's not the father's son here.
Okay.
Right.
She didn't ask me for it. Don't yell at her.
I just wanted to say that I'm happy, finally, that the business with the engineer, I think, is resolved. It is resolved, is it not?
It is resolved.
It is resolved, is it not? I was prepared to hire a band to play Nearer My God to Thee, because if that wasn't said... this goddamn ship was going to sink. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public have any comments or questions? Ms. Lenart? Bobby will get to you. No, I'm sorry. I called on Deb, and I was just saying I'd get to you right next. Sorry.
It's just quick. Deb Lenart, 5 Elm Court. With Peosha coming in and giving us the deadline of tomorrow, what is that in reference to just the heater in this building?
Well, there's a couple of things. When we were hoping to have a new facility, I convinced them to wait some period of time.
Right.
Those waiting periods don't all expire at the same time.
Okay.
So the one that's expiring now is the heating system.
So that doesn't include the building that's still out there that's kind of falling apart.
They are
apart.
Taking no action so long as we are not using Bay 3 and not putting vehicles
and
in.
And what about the First Aid Squad with all of the noncompliance in there, the system, the exhaust system?
That's what we were talking about earlier, was I'm calling the engineer because we need an estimate.
So we don't have definitive deadlines on those yet when they start finding us for all of the other stuff like that?
I just don't know what they are off the top of my head.
Okay.
Mr. Clark.
This never is up high enough. Bob Clark from Lake Drive. I'm just trying to clarify. I see the flags are still out on the work to be done for the lift station on Lake Drive. It's never been taken up, so I'm wondering if the work was done to connect the generator there.
I believe so. I know we had a screaming match with the gas company. That got resolved, did it not?
I don't recall the upshot of that.
Did they hook up the gas onto the generator? We have a report from the gas company. Okay, so let's find out if the damn thing's hooked up. And if it's not, let's get them back in here. Because we did have quite the to-do with them.
And my follow-up question to that is whether that has anything to do with the funds that were just approved to pay R3M.
No, we already paid the gas company. That's why we've been screaming.
Okay,
we paid them a year ago to do this connection.
It's just compliance for the payment that's already made then?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
They did claim that we hadn't followed up, and our deputy clerk produced, I think, 5 emails. They were somewhat embarrassed, but apparently not embarrassed enough to report back to us, so we'll follow up. Thank you. Anyone else in the public have any questions or comments? There being none, we close the public session at 9 o'clock. We don't need a closed session, do we?
None that I know.
Okay. Do I have a motion for adjournment? Second?
Second.
Anybody opposed? Thank you.
I don't know.